Díaz Parques. Díaz Parques.
We're getting better at that.
That was pretty impressive, guys.
Thank I really like that. Used to take five tries.
I mean, just from all the shoots I've done where we don't have a fucking slate and everybody's clapping, and it's like weird how some people just don't know how to fucking clap their stupid hands. Yeah. Some people just don't know
how
to clap.
And that's how we're going to intro the podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Us Podcast, a podcast about us.
Woo, it's all of us, bro.
Yeah,
what's
that's right.
What's up, everybody? What's up, Chris?
What's up, listeners? Angel?
It's another week, another day, another episode. And today, as you might have guessed,
really exciting.
From the title of the episode.
Hell yeah.
It's another guest episode. Woo! Your favorite. Woo! You've told me. You've told Chris. And now we're here. So today we are talking to a very, very cool individual by the name of Marvin Lemus. Hi, Marvin.
Hi. Was that me?
That's me.
No. No, or it might have been me. So
no, I just put it on Do Not Disturb. Like, so, you know?
So all three of our phones went off simultaneously.
We're posting about each other.
Yeah, exactly. We're just super excited. So this is going to be another filmmaker episode.
Hell
so
yeah.
If you hate movies, I don't know what you're doing listening to.
I know. What are you doing
Go
here?
Listen to something else.
Yeah, literally.
Also, like, who hates movies? I know. When I meet people, they're like, I don't really watch TV. And I'm like, well, go die. I don't.
Yeah. Go die.
It's the same thing when I hear people that, like, are from the East Coast and they're like, oh, I miss the seasons. I'm like, go the fuck back. Like, I
man,
hate it.
I follow someone from New York, and they were in L.A. visiting. They're just complaining the whole time. And I wanted to be like, well, then go back then. Like,
I know, right? And just, we're just going to be like Trump supporters telling Mexicans to go back.
Go back to where you came from.
Yeah.
You just got a MAGA hat on. And it's like, why don't you go the hell back to where
Make
you came
California
from?
California great again.
Make like, LA great again. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I just listen. The reality is I just am really upset at how bad the parking situation is. Like, it's just, it was always bad, but it's gotten so much worse over the last few years.
I had to park a block away from Marvin's house. Like,
what I know. No. And listen, and here's the thing. When I first moved here, this was like the, I have never been any other neighborhood where you could park right in front, like, consistently. Like, it used to be amazing. And then sometime over this year, I think there's a garage or something around the corner that closed. And so now the parking, like, so if I have to park around the corner, I get really upset.
Yeah.
I used to live in an apartment where I had to drive in circles for 45 minutes in the middle of the night just trying to find a spot.
Oh, yeah. My god!
And now I'm, like, all privileged, and I'm like, I parked around the corner. What a... I'm
I
so upset.
I have groceries. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to carry these?
You're going to make me walk, like, a... extra 10 feet? What is this bullshit?
Yeah, fuck this. I'm complaining to the city council.
Well, that's kind of why I'm not really looking forward to moving to, because I know at some point I'm going to have to move to a Culver City or to, like, an LA. And that, like, the thing I hate more than, like, having to be alone, be independent, is, like, parking. Like,
yeah,
I can just park in front of my house, which is nice. And I live,
where are you guys from?
Well, I'm from Southeast LA is what we're repping.
So no, but specific, because I mean, I'm sure other people like don't actually know LA. What
right. Yeah. So Southgate for me,
city of Southgate. I'm from the city of Bell.
Yeah.
Southeast okay. LA. Tight. It feels like a little hot. I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah. Sure. No worries.
I don't know if are you. Is this only recording to this? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Should I? I don't know. Hello. Check. Okay.
That's because Pike is coming from one ear. So if it sounds like it peaks, it's just because
okay,
you're
cool.
hearing it from one side.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. And I should probably be speaking right into it, yeah?
Yeah.
Probably.
That'd be helpful.
we kind of want to hear it.
But other than complaining about LA and parking, we all have a couple other things in common. We're all filmmakers.
Uh-huh.
Marvin, I have a question, like, right off the bat. Do you introduce yourself as a filmmaker, or do you introduce yourself as something else?
Now I say I do use filmmaker a little more often, but I used to say just mostly be, and that's only, well, I used to say director, like, I was introducing myself as, you know, I'm a director, never anything else. And then the last few years I've been writing more, and so now that I'm a writer director, I'm just like, okay, well, so sometimes, like, if I'm like, it depends on who I'm talking to. If it's, like, you know, industry circles, then I'll just say, you know, I'm a writer director. If it's outside of that, like, you know, if I have to fill out a form at the doctor and they ask for occupation, I'll just put filmmaker, because it just kind of, you know, it covers the gamut. Yeah. And so, but that's, why do you ask?
Because I found, like, when I'm talking to people that aren't filmmakers, what I usually say is I make movies.
Yeah, I just simplify it.
Yeah.
Dumb it down.
I feel like filmmaker, like, they'll be like, they'll look at me like, this fool thinks he's all dope saying filmmaker.
You know, here's the thing. I will say, because I have very, very, very specific thoughts around that. And because when I was, it was right after college, it was like 6 months, 7 months, like right after I graduated and like I'm fucking working, I was a PA and everything. Uh-huh. And then I realized and I'm like, okay, like at some point, like I just very, very consciously remember, there was a point where I very consciously made the decision to start calling myself a director, like full on, like really owning it, complete delusional. Like I am a director and not necessarily delusional, but just because I was like, I've directed plenty of short films, like I have directed over and over and over again, so I am a director. Whether or not I'm getting paid to do that yet, like it's another story. But I remember making that choice and feeling very uncomfortable with it for a while, stumbling with it for a while, but sticking to it. And I know that that choice of like owning it and like saying like people might not fucking like it, some people might judge me and they might think I'm full of myself or some bullshit, like that, I had to push that aside. And I was like, well, those are the people I'm not going to be working with, because the people, like, I know as long as I'm directing consistently, then I am a director. And if you don't see that, then like if you're talking shit about that, or like if you, and you know, not that everybody does, or that there's a lot of people out here like, you know, well, one, it's already a delusion to, you know, feel that everybody's thinking about you, right? Because that's just you in your own head. But
it's true.
Yeah. It is. But you know, the thing is, like, I've gone through all that shit. Like I had to accept that. I'm like, oh, like I'm over here assuming that everybody's thinking about me as much as I'm thinking about me,
right,
and my own insecurities, right? So I had to make that decision, and I know that that decision, I fully give that choice to own my title as a director to the success that started to come after it. Because when I'm walking in the room, like I was like, I just, there's a confidence that comes with it. There's a confidence, and it's like, I know who I am. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm about. I know what my goals are. I know where I'm going. And when you're talking to other people, like the thing is, especially with producers or people that have money and they want things made and that they're not directors themselves and they're looking to you to like, they just want you to come in the room and they need somebody that like, is like, isn't questioning it, that knows what they're doing and that sure of themselves, because they're like, I don't know, like I need somebody else to do this shit. Like, and if you can walk in the room and be like, I know it. I know what I'm doing. I know how to do this. I know how I'm going to get it done. Here's how we should do it to have like the most success for you. Like, they're like, great. Like, they just want, they want to offload all those problems onto you.
Tell me you'll make this work.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a funny anecdote that that I heard once when I went to Blumhouse, how Damien Chazelle, when he wrote Whiplash, when people would meet up with him, they were, you know, because he's like a skinny guy. So they're like, we're not sure if this guy can direct anything, or if he has the confidence to like authority. So that's honestly, that's why,
because he doesn't look
confident. And they said that that's truthfully why, I mean, also for money, but that's truthfully why they had him do the short film before the movie to see if he could direct on like the scale that he was. So that's true, right, that you have to come in with that presence. And it's, and you know, like I think it's really important to have like a strong personality, especially when you're becoming a filmmaker. And like, even if you're like not internally sure of yourself, like to just pretend. And it's, oh, like you're playing a character, you know, you're the director.
It's I mean, there's a little bit of like, I used to really buy into the idea of like faking it till you make it. And I definitely believe that I did that shit for a long time. I think that more so than faking it, I just realize now, later, I look back and I'm like, you know, especially as I'm meeting young filmmakers, and I realize, and I'm like, I wasn't faking anything. Like I was doing
it.
You know, I was putting in the hours and I was doing the work. And it's something that, like, you know, I, like, when I talked to, like Lena, like, I was mentioning, I, like, had interviewed her recently, and, you know, we started talking about, like, it's the, this, and it's something that I left school with, was the mentality of, like, treating this like practice and treating this like an athlete and not being an artist about it, not being precious about it. And that's, like, the shit.
Whoops.
that is the stuff. That's the, you know, doing the work of like putting in the hours and over again, and like the confidence that comes with that, of just like, no, when you ask me the questions, I'm not coming up with an answer or faking it or doing it. It's like, no, I've done it over and over again. I know how I do this. I know how I make it work. Maybe I haven't done it at that budget level yet.
Yeah.
Or maybe I haven't done it with that actor yet. But like, those are the places where you do fake it, where you're just like, no, of course I can do it. I'm like, shit, okay. Like, but it's like, ultimately what I've learned is like, it all just, the same problems, they just become a little bit bigger. And they just get to be, and it's like you go up, it just means that there's more people involved that can help you fucking, that can answer some of the questions and fill in the, because you don't need to know everything. When you come from like indie and when you come from digital where you're doing everything, you think you have to know everything. And one of the best things that I've learned that has been amazing over the last few years is learning how to delegate and knowing that I'm like, I don't have to know the answers to every single thing. Like, that's why I'm hiring you, my production designer or my DP, to know all the shit about the camera that exactly. I don't know, because I don't need to know all that.
I finally stopped caring that I don't know a lot about cameras. Mm-hmm, like, I felt so stupid all the time because I didn't know what this was called, or I didn't know. Someone would ask me a question on how to...
With the f-stop,
and I was just like, I and I've always felt so insecure about not knowing, but now I'm just like, I don't give a fuck. That's why I have this guy do it.
Yeah, and you will learn at some point with like the more you become familiar with being on set and like the more frequently you do, you're gonna learn at some point. So that's why I figure, like, rather than chastise myself for not knowing it now, like, I'm just gonna accept that, like, at some point I will be so familiar with it.
Yeah, you're on the journey, right? I mean, I also, like, if it's something that you really want to know, like, I know. So when I left school, I had made this thesis film that was supposed to be, like, I'm sure, like, everybody else feels like, you know, this thesis film is going to blow me up. We're going to get into all the film festivals. I'm going to fucking become a name. Yeah. And it was a piece of shit and didn't get into any film festivals, and, like, it didn't go anywhere.
Wow.
And I had spent all of my money. And at that time, it was like, it was so cheap. It was $1,500. But for me, I was like, oh my God, I spent so much money on my life thesis. Savings. Yeah, exactly. I fucking had car washes to raise money for this thing. And it was like, you know, anyway, I was going to make a really inappropriate joke about car washes. Anyway. But like, one of the guys that donated, we were doing this car wash, and it was the dude that did, he played in the X-Men movies. He was the dude, the big...
Oh, the Juggernaut?
Yeah, Juggernaut. What's his name? I forget that guy.
I don't know the actor's name, but
That actor. He came up, and I could tell that he was, like, waiting for us to recognize him. And we recognized him, but we didn't know how to deal with it. And so he's like, okay. And he put, like, a 20 in. I'm like, so Juggernaut, here's, like, you know, shout out. Thanks.
Shout out, Juggernaut.
I need to figure out his name. And so when I find him, I'm like...
Put him on the poster.
P.S. You donated to my thesis.
Can we tag you as executive producer?
Yeah. I should have been like, hey, like, you want a credit on this?
You want to drop your name on this movie?
Yeah, I can use the credit.
Anyway, so I had a thesis teacher. I could use the credit.
That was Shane Juggernaut accent.
Sorry, Juggernaut.
I had a thesis teacher that right before I left school had gotten it. He, like, told us, like, and he was the only teacher at the school that was constantly showing his new work. Like, most of the other teachers didn't show us anything, let alone anything that they had just done recently.
Here's a short I did in 1986.
I know, exactly. It was a lot really? Of that. Not, and no shade. I love them. I learned so much from them. And they had, you know, they were working. They were trying to, like, you know, they were still doing the damn thing and hustling. But this one teacher was, like, so... And he, like, has had a bunch of viral hits. And, like, maybe you probably have seen some of his work because his stuff, like, blew up for a little... For, like, a hot second. He had some mega viral hits right after he left the school. But he... He said to the class one day, he's like, you know, musicians can practice every single day, and then there's no reason now with the technology and how cheap everything is that a filmmaker shouldn't be practicing as often as they can. And that really stuck with me. And so when I left school, I was like, I love it. And he was the only one that came in with new work, would show us. He was doing it for dirt cheap. I mean, I think a big part of the reason he was hustling. I mean, I don't know if it was appropriate, but I'm a big part of why I'm sure he was teaching, like, one class there was so that he could crew up with all the students, you know, like one of my buddies was his DP on a bunch of the projects, you know, so, like, and all of his crews ended up being, like, the students, you know, so I'm pretty sure, like, you know, that's how he was making his shit for cheap. He's like, well, here's my crew. Anyways, that shit stuck with me, and I just, like, took that shit to heart. And so after college, I maxed out a credit card and I got a camera and some lenses and a little bit of sound gear. And I just started shooting an episode of a web series in my apartment every weekend. I was writing it at night and editing at night and putting it up on YouTube and, like, learning how to promote that shit. And at first being just, like, really obnoxious and leaving it a link on everybody's Facebook.
Oh, no. Like, oh, you'd
send messages?
Like,
I would just leave it on their wall. Back in the day when you would actually put things on your wall. Ooh. I would do that. I was just like, whatever. I would spend an hour. I was just like, fuck it. And, like, you know, here's the thing. No. That shit, that being that shameless, I still do that shit. I still carry that through. Like, there has been, like, you know, because this is, we're out here hustling and grinding. Like, we're freelance. Right. Like, I still, whenever I, like, I tell people this all the time, I'm like, if you're, like, looking for work, whenever I know I'm about to finish a job, or, like, I don't do this as much anymore, but whenever I'm about to finish a job, like, I'm like, if I know I have, like, 2 weeks out before this job, I'll spend the day emailing 100 of my contacts individually, hey, about to, you know, this job's wrapping up, let me know if you know of anything doing this. But then the key would be, I know that they probably don't have a job for me. Like, they're just a friend, but I would in there and I would bold it and I'd be like, but if you probably don't have a job, like, or, but if you probably know somebody that might be able to hire or is looking for something, if you could forward this to one or two people, you know, looking for these kinds of jobs. And I got meetings like that. Like, wow. You know, like four people would reply and be like, hey, I sent it to this person or this friend of mine at this company or whatever. And I would end up having meetings and I got jobs that way. And so, like, I'm just shameless. I'm like, whatever, dude. I'm like, what do I got to lose? I'm coming from nothing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my family's poor. Like, I don't have anything to lose. Like, I got to make this shit work.
Yeah. I think especially these days where, like, there's this whole, like, flexing culture. I noticed, because I was a part of this too. When I first started out, like, I wanted to seem cool. Like, I'm just gonna make one post about it. I'm not gonna bother anybody, and people are just gonna flock to it because they love my shit.
Yep.
I quickly realized, like, no, like, they don't care. Like, unless like I'm really actively like trying to make it like, hey, can you check this out? And, like, no.
It's obnoxious.
That's what makes me laugh about rappers these days. You know, they can be like, oh man, I don't give a fuck. But like in the beginning, you were like, hey, check out my beats. You know, like Travis Scott was like, hey,
on the streets, like sometimes like handing out your shit, like. Like, no, and that's the hustle. So
it's
like,
good to embrace that, for sure.
You got to. And I still have that, and I still... But I also... I mean, and I know I get a lot of that from my parents of, like, just that entrepreneurial spirit. And I definitely think... Because I tell people all the time, like... I was like, I've owned more recently in my life, I've owned the title of being an artist. Like, that's something that I felt uncomfortable with. I could call myself a director, but calling myself an artist felt, like, you know, weird and, like douchey.
Yeah.
And I got the hell over that. No, but now I'm like, no, I am. I'm an artist. Like, what I do is I sit and I fucking think about my goddamn feelings and I put that shit on the page and, like, because I want to make my best possible work. And my best possible work is, like, if I'm being as open, as honest, as raw as fucking possible.
Hell yeah.
Even if I'm making a comedy, like, especially when I'm making a comedy. Like, otherwise, then it's just a bunch of fucking dick jokes, which is, like, you know, there's room for that, too. But I'm like, oh, no, that's art. Like, that's my art. Like, I'm doing this because I'm working through my shit, you know? Like, I'm working through some real shit. And so I had to start owning that. And I think that being vulnerable with that title of, like, fucking own, especially I think that, you know, coming from where we come from, dudes don't have that. Like, you know, that's why, like, you know, the only art that you tend to see coming from, you see it's a lot of rappers or tagging, like, you know, because that's, like, sexy, it's dangerous, it's like, it's illegal, like, so there's just there's more of a toughness to it versus just being like, it's okay that I'm, like, you know, kind of, I just like listening to songs that are a little fucking emotional and just sitting here and be like, you know what's it making me think of, you know, and so I can put that shit on the page. Anyways, where am I going? I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just rambling.
We're just talking, man.
We're just getting to know each other. That's what I like about this.
I like hearing about just, like, the method that goes into, like, into the process of filmmaking. And I want to know, like, do you ever feel like the moment passes with, like, a certain emotion? Because film is not an instant thing. Like, it takes time to make it. And I sometimes have trouble re-finding that feeling I had when I first started a script or when I first had the idea. And like, weeks or months will pass, and I'm like, I don't know if I feel the same anymore, and I don't know if it's going to...
Right. Yeah, dude, I've dealt with that plenty. I think, you know, so I started in digital. Oh, that's the story I was telling, was the practice I was practicing. Anyways, so that shit, being in digital where it's like I'm turning things around, like I'm like cranking them out, like it's a week turnaround, 2 weeks of turnaround, like where it's like idea, shooting that weekend, like it's out next week, like that being that fast, like, was so fulfilling. And especially coming from, like, you know, the video game generation where you, like, want that instant gratification, it was amazing, you know, because then, like, in a week I'm like, oh god, like, you know, we have 100,000 views, holy shit. And then the whole time I knew, I was just like, I want to make a feature, like, I need to make features, I'm gonna do that, that's my fucking goal, like, I need to get to features. And I was constantly working on feature ideas, and, like, I would start on it a little bit and then I just would fall away and I just wouldn't come back to it. And so, like, that feeling of just like, like, and then, you know, I feel like what I was doing, not that this is you doing, but, like, I was definitely, like, I think, one, terrified of it. Two, because it's just, like, this big daunting thing and there is no instant gratification because that's just gonna take time. And two, this, like, lack of, I had to learn discipline. I had to, like, I'm still working on it, and working on learning my fucking discipline to, like, see something all the way through. Because in digital, it was so fast that it was hard to drop something and then and move on. Like, when it comes to, like, making a movie or writing a movie and, like, sitting with it, and I 100% believe that writing is the hardest part of the whole process. Like, it is... Like, writers don't get enough credit, because, like, I definitely think, like, sitting and really and writing something good. Anybody can sit and write, but writing something good that people are going to give a shit about, like, that shit is hard. And it's because of that, because if you're doing it well, you're like digging into like, here's my traumas. Here's the shit that I don't want to talk about, though. I don't want to tell anybody, like the, those secrets, you know, like, and it's like, goes back to, I don't know where I fucking picked up this quote, but I love it. And I use it all the time of, you know, if you're not putting your secrets out on the fucking page, then like, what do I want to read it? Why it's going to be boring, you know? And so, anyways, so writing's the hardest part, and because it's so hard and because it takes so long, like you if you're not disciplined with it, if you didn't come up that way where you really had a strong fucking discipline and work ethic, like I didn't come up like doing my homework all the time, you know, like that kind of stuff, like so I would just drop it, and it was just easier to drop it and just go do another web series. And
it was faster,
it was just more immediate. And I've had to learn over this last couple of years that, like, you know, this thing that you see behind me, like, you know, what everybody can't see is that I have, I'm sitting in front of like my board. I've been breaking and outlining my first feature, and I've been fucking sitting with this for like a year and a half, been chipping away at it on the page, chipping away, and then, but knowing that I needed to get to this outline to break it out like this, and I just finally sat down with it, and it took a year, but it took a year of like, I kept multiple times wanted to like just drop it. I was like, like, you know, I'm losing interest in it. Like, I have there's another idea I'm excited about. Oh, this new idea I just had, that's gonna be the thing. That's gonna be the thing. And then I had to really be honest with myself. I'm like, bro, you've been doing that for years. For years, like, you start working on one thing and then like it's getting hard and you get excited about a new idea and so you drop it. And so you start working on the next thing and then nothing gets done because you're like, well, no, I gotta have multiple projects at once. And I was like, how about you work on one fucking thing at a time and actually get one of them done? And being that fucking hard and honest with myself, like, I've had to just stick it out. And I was just like, I've had to tell myself, other than, you know, this, the main project that I've been working on, this is like the only personal project I've got going on. And I was like, I can't work on anything else. Like, I have to just get this done, because if I want to be a writer, just like I did with directing, like, if I want to be a stronger writer, then I need to just see it all the way through and get it done. Even if I'm not feeling like it, because that's being an artist. Like, this is work. My parents didn't have the fucking option of just not going to work. Like, I need to just show the fuck up and do this damn work and get it done, because this isn't going to be the only thing that I write. You know, like, I have to be fucking real and just treat this. And when I started to realize and really be honest with myself and realize that I like and treat this the way that I've treated all of my digital shorts, where I was just like, yo, I gotta bang them out. None of this is precious. None of this is going to be the thing. I'm going to do a million of these fucking things. And then I was like, oh, you know what? Like, that's the thing. With a feature, it just feels like, oh, it's so precious. And like, what if it's not good? And like all that. And I just had to finally be honest with myself. I'm like, dude, you're going to write a bunch of these things.
Yeah.
Like, this is just the first one. And you just need to get this out, because the second one's going to be better. The third one's going to be even more better. Like, even more better. But like, you know, even more better. And it's just like, and the fourth better than that. And so I was just like, you just need to get this done, and also just get this shit the fuck out, because this isn't gonna get good until you get this first bad draft out. So that's how I feel about that. That's the process that I've had to, the work that I've had to do over the past couple of years, to like be real with myself and not be lazy and to be okay with being scared and just do the work anyway.
Yeah, I feel like you and me are really similar in that way. We're like, from so many of the filmmakers we idolize, we glorify the incredible debut feature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not realizing that, like you said, we're going to make more. So, like, the first one can be good. It doesn't have to be, like, incredible, like, Reservoir Dogs or, you know, like big. Like, of course, aim for that, but don't put that much pressure onto it where you never get it. Because then there's people that will work on their first feature script for years and then never shoot it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I feel, like, right now. I feel like I haven't gotten to that place yet because of the pressure that I put on myself for that first one, because it's like, that's the first. I almost feel like if this isn't amazing, I'm never gonna get the chance again. Like, that's how I feel.
And that's self-sabotage.
Yeah,
that's the thing that we tell ourselves that ruins us from just getting it done and letting ourselves believe that, like, and accepting that, like, yeah, like, it's like this first one, just like I have to accept, even though I truly know that I'm like, I fucking love this, I still love it, I think I'm gonna shoot this, but I've also had to accept that I'm like, nobody has to read the first draft, that this is just going to be for me. I have to do that draft zero before I do the second, like the real first draft that I can possibly send out to anybody. Cause, and letting myself accept that I'm like, the first draft's going to be bad, dude. Nothing that you've made has been great on the first draft. Like, nothing. True. Let this shit be bad, dude. I'm like, this blank spot that you see here, it's been blank for 2 weeks because, well, I got a little busy, but also cause I've been just like, I hit a wall and I was loving it, dude. I fucking flew through it. I was like, holy shit, this is so much better than I thought. Like, I actually know how to do this now. It's been like, I forgot that I've been putting in 2 years of work back on writing. Like, it's not like I'm starting where I was 3 years ago. And then I started to get to this middle section, and I'm just like, oh, fuck. And, like, these two columns here, like, I had to just do them. I was just like, let it be bad. Just throw anything. Just put anything. Mm-hmm. Put anything. And having to do it and say that to myself over and over again, because I constantly just walk away. I'll check my phone. And I'm like, no. Just come back. Put anything. Yeah. Anything. Just put something. Put something. It's okay. It doesn't have to be perfect yet. And, dude, I'm literally, it's a mantra now. Like, just let it be bad. Put your bad idea out first. Something that this last week I realized, I'm like, oh, I think the new question or the new way that I want to phrase it is like, okay, what's the boring version of this? What's the version that I would make fun of? You know, like, and because I'm watching movies. I watch a shit ton of movies now. Like, I didn't watch as much as I used to, or I watch more now than I used to. And I like watching a lot of bad stuff because I used to be like, I'm not going to go see that. Like, it got bad reviews, like, you know, being elitist about it. But I learned so much more about from the bad movies than I do from the good ones.
Yeah.
And because, like, as I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, like, this is terrible. Like, why would you do that? Like, this is like, I'm like critiquing it as I'm watching it. And I'm realizing that I'm like, oh, I know my structure better than I think. And like, and so now I'm like, okay, how would the bad people do it? How would this be if this was like really bad version? Like, how would I do that? And I'm like, I feel like I'm like, oh, I'll have better ideas if I'm like, well, the obvious way to do it is this. And I'm like, well, that's dumb because what you should do is that. And I'm like, oh, now I'm having that conversation with myself.
I also feel inspired when I see bad movies because I'm like, this shit could get made.
Yeah. Oh, trust. Oh, I do that now too. Yeah. It's always been like, dude, that's what like the last 3 years have been. I was just like, this is a hit? Yeah. Fuck that. I can manage this. It can light a fire under your ass.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to ask you because one of the things I thought was really interesting is your name. Because for the longest, or not for the longest time, but when we first started talking about you, we would call you Marvin Lemus. But as I listened to, it's Lemus.
Yes.
So do you care about pronunciation, and what does that mean to you? That whole
name? I care. I care. I correct people. I tell them, I'm like, no, it's Lemus. Like, it's not Lemus. Because that's my whole life. It's been, you know, people saying Lemus, and I don't think I used to correct people when I was like really little. And it's weird that I was always so prideful of my name, the thing is, so I went by Brian, my middle name, my whole life. I didn't
really
start, yeah. So the same thing with like calling myself a director. After college, I you know, it's a little weird, and I definitely know, like, people don't ask me about it, but I'm like, I know it's a little awkward, like, because I just straight up was like, no, call me Marvin now. I just made the choice. I was in my first job after college, and like, I had already going on interviews and stuff. My resume, I always put my full name, and it's Marvin Brian Lemus, and my family call me Brian my whole life because my dad's Marvin, so I went by Brian.
Oh, okay.
And so I was in interviews and they would call me Marvin. I was like, oh, and I'm like constantly having to be like, no, it's Brian. I go by Brian, my dad, blah, blah, blah. Having to go through the story of explaining why I go by my middle name. And then I was just like, I just kept realizing, I was like, well, I want to use my full name on my resume. I always credit myself with my full name. I used to. I dropped my middle name like a few years back. I was just like, I'm just going to keep it simple.
Just Facebook.
Just drop the.
Sounds cool.
And, and so I... I was a PA at this reality show, and they hired a new editor, and he was Brian, and I was already thinking about, like, I was like, maybe I should start going by Marvin instead. The thing is, like, I recognize now how weird that might be for most people, but my mom, I grew up with my mom in radio, and my mom, like, she started going by, like, she switched up her name a couple times when I was growing up. Like, you know, she used her married name for a long time. My parents split, but she kept the name on air. Like, legally, she went back to her maiden name. But then at some point when she started a new job, like, one of her last ones, she, like, completely just picked a new fucking stage name. Like,
wow.
And I was just like, what the fuck? And I thought it was so weird. But, like, she set the precedent. And I was just like, okay, you can just do that. Like, you know? And I was like, I'm not doing a weird one. I'm just going by my first legal name.
Yeah. It's on my birth certificate.
But no, but I went by it because I was just like, well, there's already another Brian that's coming in. And I was like, fuck it. Like, I was like, how many Brians do you know versus how many Marvins do you know? Like, you know, I was like, true. So I'm just going to start going by Marvin because I think it'll just stand out a little bit more without it being like, oh, how do you pronounce that? You know, like, I was just like,
Marvin.
Yeah. You know, luckily I don't have a name that's hard to pronounce, but it's like, you don't know. I like, you know, I ask people all the time. They're like, sometimes they'll know one other Marvin, you know, but like, usually I'm the only Marvin people know. And yep. I'm like, well, that was intentional. So in a sense, I was like, I've always been, you know, it sounds so fucking douchey, and but I own it. I'm like, whatever, man. I'm always thinking about branding, and like, yeah. I like being a businessman about things, and like thinking about like, how am I going to stand out? How am I going to maneuver this so that I can, you know, subconsciously just like make you think of me a little bit more, and make you think like make me stand out just a little bit more. Because like I said, I mean, I'm not trying to be broke forever.
Yeah. And what about the last name?
And the last, oh yeah, that's right. The last name. I don't know. So I was saying, I've always corrected people on that. But I grew up like hating speaking Spanish, not wanting to be Mexican, yeah. Like really hating, like wanting to be white so bad.
Yeah.
But I still, I guess because, oh, so Brian is Brian with a Y. And so I grew up being like, no, it's with a Y because they would put I. Uh-huh. And so I grew up correcting people on that shit. So I was just like, fuck it, I'm already correcting you. And Lemus, not Limas. Yeah. You know, so I don't know. I just, my parents just instilled a lot of pride in me. So I just like have no trouble being like, nope, that's wrong. Like, yeah. Say that's it right. That's
good. It wasn't for me until I took an English class and my professor was like, had a master's in like Latin American literature. And he went through everyone's name and they're like, you know, all of you have accents in your name. I went to East LA College. Oh. And he's like, all of you have accents in your name that the roster doesn't put on there, that are on there. And so he would call everyone, like he would tell everyone, this is, your name has this accent here and here, but you don't, like, you've been conditioned to like not pronounce the accent that's there. Mm. And so that was the first that's instance beautiful. Where, yeah, so he would call me Angel Salinas, and I would always introduce myself wow. as Angel Salinas. And that was the first time where I was like, maybe I should take pride in how my name is, mm-hmm. is like pronounced and spelled and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that was not something I didn't even think about, like, at all.
Yeah.
And I guess it goes back to, like, branding and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, no, but with the name of it all, I mean, yeah, it's a, no, there is that, too, to it now, especially with, like, you know, I was always comfortable just correcting people because I was just like, nah, just say my name right. That's how you say it. And I think my dad was just always made a point of it. And you know what? It helps that my dad would be like, Limas, like, that's not how you spell Limas. Like, Limas is L-I-M-A-S, yeah, you know? Yeah. He's like, that's Limas. Like, I was like, no, we're Lemus. And I was just like, okay, got it, Dad. So he said that to me really young, and I was like, got it. Like, I was just like, no, idiot, that's not how you spell Limas.
I tell a story about how my dad literally kicked my ass at an In-N-Out parking lot for telling him that I wanted to change my name from Chris Carmona to Chris Parks. Oh, and he's shit. Like, don't you ever say that shit to me again. He's like, you're Chris Carmona. He's like, you're Christopher Carmona. He's like, that's, and he started crying. He's like, that's aww. The name I grew up with, okay? And I was like, okay, I'm sorry. Oh, like, okay, yeah. Like, that goes back to wanting to be white, you know?
So yeah. No, I mean,
I thought I was white till seventh grade. I was telling Angel, I really thought I was white. Like, my mom's like, you know, you're Spanish. I'm like,
no, what?
No, like, no, you're Hispanic. You came from Mexico. Like, no, well, you're our son, dummy. Like, you're Hispanic too.
And you're just like, I was like, oh my God, you're right. Yeah. Like,
that moment where you look at your hands, like, oh my God,
what am I?
Oh
man,
we're gonna take a short break, and we're gonna come back with some more interesting conversations and funny conversations.
Goodbye.
You tried. It's okay.
You know what? Forget it. Bye. Show.
Sick.
So good.
And we're back.
That's all you need to be a filmmaker. Just know how to clap.
Yeah, basically.
Know how to clap on time.
Well, again, this is the Us Podcast. Welcome back, a podcast
hello.
About us.
It's about all of us, right?
Yeah,
all I can of be, us. I'm in the Us.
You're definitely.
I just really don't want to feel left out right now.
It's all of us and Marvin Lemus.
And Marvin Lemus.
No. That's now you're excluding me. Like, yeah, I'm not right. a part of the Us. What the fuck?
We are us now.
Okay, cool.
We're becoming us through this.
Well, yeah, podcast. I guess we should have explained. So the whole point, like, why we call it the Us Podcast is because we wanted to highlight people that. You know, when we were coming with the idea, we're like, we should talk about movies. I was like, what if this was like a time capsule of like capturing everybody in like the places they were right before they blew up? So like where we are, where we're at mentally, like where you're at right before you become huge, and like everybody that we interview, like we like just like know.
We wholeheartedly like believe they have the talent to like just blow up, and right. we're and a lot of them come from our area of Southeast LA.
Right.
So we're just like, let's all just get together and talk about how dope we are so we can finally put ourselves on the map because fucking nobody else is doing it, you know?
For yeah. real.
And it's like a time capsule, like, you know, like so that way, like, when you're winning Oscars, when he's winning, like, we're like, look back, like, all right, he won this Oscar, but look back to the episode in 2018 when he was talking about, like, I'm writing this movie. And, like, I know what movie that is. I know, yeah. fucking
I know what that turns into.
Exactly. So that's what got us excited.
That's awesome.
I wanted to ask you something because, you know, obviously we're brown, we're mm-hmm. young, and yeah. we're filmmakers. And I wanted to ask you about, there's, you know, I think with most cultures, I've heard like other cultures too, but like, especially with us, because there are so few of us, or at least so few prominent ones, whenever we hear about like another young brown guy coming up, we're like, hey, wait a second, what the hell is this like? And like, we watch the work, and like, I feel like there's like that like innate, like, there's like a little bit of a challenging, like, what are you doing?
Like,
here?
Hey, this is my territory.
Exactly.
I'm the brown filmmaker.
And like, what I've started to come to realize, that Angel pointed me to a great Justin Simeon podcast episode with Ava DuVernay, where she talks about how she would see her other, you know, black peers as family, not yeah. as like competitors. And I think that that's something we ought to embrace, especially as guys, because we grew up so machismo, like, we just want to mm-hmm. like, no, it's going to be us. Like, fuck you guys. And that's the whole point, is like to like be welcoming of like new people, or like people that we, you know, are gonna be around, you know. So why I don't know, to me it feels, I wanted to see what you thought about like that culture of like kind of like where we kind of get defensive. Because I will admit, when I heard about Hentified, I was, you know, they're like, oh, this is great brown up and coming filmmaker. I'm like, I'm a great brown up and coming filmmaker, let's see what this guy's about.
And
I'm like,
heard of Chris,
yeah, I guess it looks pretty cool, you know, like so, like, I wanted to ask, like, were you ever like that in the beginning? Where,
yeah, no, I was a bit like that. I mean, because I'm very competitive, and I think that, I mean, we work in a very competitive industry where, like, you know, you're everybody's trying to like get ahead and like yeah. make sure that they're, and I think that the thing is, like, that feeling that you're talking about is that's just like white supremacy, like, in a sense, you know, mm. like, if you really fucking boil that shit down, it's like we've been made to feel like there's only room for one of us, yeah. you know? And so, like, when you're in there, like, you're just like, you're trying to hold that spot. And I think that the reason that Latino Hollywood, that Latino filmmakers haven't come up and don't have the same amount of work and prominence that, you know, I would say Black Hollywood does, you know, not to say, hopefully, you know, don't at me, I don't think that this is problematic, but, you know, we don't have that kind of amount of work out there, yeah, because not yet, I think yeah. that for the too long, Latinos were working and operating from that space of like, there's only room for me, and like, you know, you're being cutthroat about yep. it, versus helping each other up and building that community and being like, we're not competition. When you succeed, I'm excited for you. When I succeed, I hope you're excited for me, and like championing for each other, you know? And so I think, yeah, I definitely had that for a little bit, but I rarely experienced it because I was usually the only fucking brown dude mm. in the room, you know? Like, I was always the, and I think, it, up until recently, or more recently, I started to just really accept and own, like, as I've been, like for instance, Me Too, like, you know, we were just talking about Me Too, and like, I was trying to get in over there for years. Like, I was like, I heard about them a long time ago, and I was like, oh shit, like, I had been working in so many for a while. Like, I used to joke that I was like, oh, people are gonna think I'm like a black filmmaker, not that like in a bad way, but just like everything I was yeah. working on, I was like, I had done Dear White People, I was working at All Dev Digital, like creating all these, working with a lot of black actors and comedians and stuff, and my name doesn't necessarily sound very Latino, so like, you know, I was like people might think like I'm a black filmmaker because of all the, you know, the connections, the family that I had become a part of, with, like, you know, some of my mentors, like Justin Simeon and
right.
Elia Williams. And so and I loved it, and they definitely taught me what it looked like to build that community. And the whole time, like, ever since I was in film school, I was looking for the Latinos in Hollywood, and I was trying to find them, and I was trying to figure out, I'm like, where are they? And I would meet them from time to time, but there was always that fucking attitude. There's always that feeling, that sentiment that, like they don't really want you there. And I was just like, what the fuck? And I was like, I already have issues with my fucking identity of feeling like I don't belong.
Right.
And then to finally be in those spaces, like the very few spaces, and at the time especially, not that there's that much more now, but that there was definitely very even fewer then, the Latino like content that people that were creating, to have that feeling of just like, I'm like, oh, who are you? Like, are you really like, do you really belong here? And he's just like, what the fuck? Like, I've been like, I'm like, but I, and always feeling much more welcome by like black filmmakers, like, and it was just like, I'm like, that's stupid. So like, I think they really modeled that for me, like those mentors modeled it for me, of what it looks like to be like, nah, like, we're all in this shit together, and I'm gonna help out, and like, I'm as I come up, I reach back, and even like the peers that are to your side, of just like, yo, like, I just got a hit up for this interview, like, you know, for this job, like, you should apply to this thing, like, you know, we're gonna be up for it together, like, it might go to one of us, but like, as long as one of us is in there, you know, like, And so I think that I lost that fairly early on. And if anything, just made me more upset, because then I would, you know, it took years to finally get in over at Mithu. Like, and then finally to get there and you know, to still feel like, I'm like, damn, like, what exactly did I have to do? Like, it wasn't until Hentified, you know?
Yeah.
That all of a sudden, like, you know, people are reaching out. I'm like, man, I've been reaching out. Like, you know, no shade. It's just like, you know, I don't know what it was, you know? Like, how, what did I have to do? I mean, at the time, they were much smaller, so, they didn't need as much help. Yeah. But,
so, and Hentified, yeah. Hentified is a web series that you created,
correct? Hentified is a web series, yes, that I co-created and directed. I co-wrote with Linda Yvette Chavez like 3 years ago.
Shouts
now.
Shouts out.
Oh, yeah. Linda, yeah, she's the homie. She's like, she don't sleep on Linda. Like, I think because I directed the series, like, nobody's actually fucking seen the damn thing except for a couple of screenings that we've had. You've seen it. Ah. But people are sleeping on Linda and they don't know. And like, then, you know, but they'll know very soon that she's like, she's it. She's gonna be the fucking. She's gonna be our Shonda. She's gonna be our Lena Waithe. Like, wow. It's gonna be incredible.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. You heard it here first in the US podcast.
And so Linda Yvette Chavez. And so anyway, so we created the thing together, and I directed the whole thing, and we were supposed to release it, and then we ended up at Sundance, and and produced by Macro and America Ferreira, and she stars in one of the episodes, and. And that shit really, like, you know, it shifted everything for me, because I, you know, at that time I had done one short film right before that through Project Involve at Film Independent, which is a fellowship program that takes
Vominos,
in, like,
right?
Know, yeah, I did a short called Vominos, and I was being very intentional. I realized, I'm like, oh, I need to come back. I was doing all this sketch comedy. I need to come back to doing story. I need to do a drama, because my thesis film that I was talking about earlier was my first dramedy. Like, I knew that what I wanted to do was dramedy, and that thing sucked. It wasn't funny. And so I was just like, yo, let me jump into sketch comedy, and I'm going to learn comedy. Like, I need to learn how to guarantee a fucking laugh and learn my timing, learn how to talk to those actors and really fucking nail my comedy, because everybody doesn't agree with this, but I definitely feel like comedy is a lot harder than drama. Not that drama is easy at all, but to do a good comedy, like, and to, like, get a laugh, like, that shit ain't easy. Like, you know, so I went into comedy for a few years and then got a little distracted, and then realized, I'm like, oh, I need to go back to story. And so I got into Project Involve finally. It took me 6 years to get in. Like, I applied for 6 years and got rejected like 5 times. And then I finally got in, and I got to do the short Vominos, and it was like a dramedy, like a little bit of a dark, not dark comedy. I wouldn't call it a dark comedy. It was like a dramedy. Mm. And did a festival run, but it was also like an all Latina cast. And it was the first time that I got to do something in like bilingual. I always knew I wanted to do that, but I just kind of wasn't doing it, 'cause I was just, you know, I think I was afraid of it, because I've, like I said, struggled with feeling like I belong, feeling like I'm like Latino enough. And to finally do that, and it being like the best experience of my life, and to see it play at all these festivals, and to see it in front of audiences, and have the reaction that we were having to it. And the very first screening was when Aaliyah walked up to me and she's like, hey, we're starting a new company called Macro. We're looking for digital series. Like, if you got anything, send me some whatever ideas you got. The very, very first screening. Awesome. And because she's a Project Involve alum, and I had worked with her for years. So I was like, yo, Aaliyah, you got to come check this thing out. She knew me as a comedy guy. Like, she knew me as like, I could crank something out in a week, and like, you know, it'd be hard, funny, and, you know, not drama, serious or emotional.
Oh, you so, can do this too?
Yeah. And so she was like, well, fuck, like, okay, like, let me know if you got anything we want to do, like, elevated web series. And at the time I was like, you know, every other digital company that was started was like trying to do BuzzFeed, you know, not spend any fucking money and definitely not doing any story.
Try these Mexican candies.
Yeah. And so I was like, all right, so let me do this shit. Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, oh, the, you know, white people try tacos. And so.
What is this called again? A taco?
Damn. Oh, man. No shame. I know. It's just too real. It's just too real. It's just like, it's so. I know. And it's just like, anyways. So the short, doing the thing that led to Hentified. And so, like, those two projects, in a lot of ways, shifted everything for me, because I just realized, like, I was walking into, I got, after Hentified, I got signed, and I'm going into all these meetings, and I'm realizing I'm in the room, and I'm, and people are like, oh my god, like, they are so excited about these two things that, like, nobody had seen except for at these festivals or different screenings. And I've directed like 200 different sketches, like things that have gone viral, things that have gotten millions of views, big campaigns, and they had no idea. They only knew my two projects that screened at a few places.
Yeah.
And it made me realize, I'm like, oh yeah, like, everything changed the moment that I started making the thing that I wanted to make. Like the thing that I knew, I was like, this is where I need to be. I was like, nobody, none of them cared that I did a few viral videos. Like, they didn't care that I spent $500 to make, you know, that one web series. Or, like, it was just, it just shifts. And, you know, I know that you've done that feature, but I, like, you know, right, for 700 bucks. But I mean, like, you made a fucking feature. Now you're a feature director.
Yeah. Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that, it means everything, regardless of the budget. Like, you made a fucking feature. Now yeah. I'm like, now when I think of you, I'm like, oh, that's a feature director.
Right. That was the one barrier I realized I had to break, because, like, we talked about, like, how, like, you'd hate on so many people, and then I had that moment where I said, well, what the fuck am I doing? You know, like, why do I think I'm so better than, like, well, just because I directed a couple of sketches on my YouTube, I think I'm better than them? It's like, you know what? Like, let me make a feature. It's like, let me make a feature because I've been talking about it. And, like, instead of wasting my time doing these sketches that are, like, going to give me practice, why don't I just fucking practice by making a movie?
Yeah.
And, like, it was a big leap, but, like, it's because I took – and that's the thing. I think everybody's path is specific to them. And so, like, for me, for my journey, I had to go and, like, gather my two friends and be like, hey, let's make a movie this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, like, I got, like, now I feel comfortable, and that's why I don't have that, like, because even if I didn't have the movie, like, I feel like I'm in a good place, and like mentally too, where like I don't see people as competition anymore, because I'm like, if I'm gonna critique others, like, I have to put that on me first. Like, well, what am I doing? Like, why shouldn't I be there? Like, what am I doing that's not getting me there?
Yeah.
And so that's why now that I have this movie, now that we have this series, like, I feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Even just to, like, have, like, a month of, like, a creative dry spell and be like, well, I'm fine. Like, I know I'm going to get to a place where I can get inspired again or to feel.
You think there's less pressure on you now?
That's what it is. I don't feel like, because, you know, in the beginning, it's like, I have to have this, my legacy. You know, I have to have this incredible debut. But now that, like, it's already happened, I'm like, oh. All right, well, I can chill out.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't need to, there's not that, like,
yeah. pressure. And then anymore. It becomes work. And then it becomes like, okay, cool, get back to work, do another one. Exactly. You know, and you let go of that preciousness. And you're so good about getting us back on track, because I realized, I'm like, oh, yeah, I lost the question there. I just started rambling. So the whole competition thing, like, yeah, no, it has to be that. It has to be, and that's why, you know, when we're talking about who we were talking about earlier when we were not recording, of like, there's like this, man. I'm like, the environment, the community that wasn't being built, that could have been built, and luckily, I think now I see it. Like, every time I talk to, like, you know, over the last, like, when I first started meeting more and more Latino filmmakers and realized, I'm like, oh shit, we are here. We're out here. We're there. I couldn't find you guys, like, you know, for so long. I couldn't find you guys. And I think it's partly because I'm not from here. So there's a lot of, but there's also not that many cats that are from here. Yeah. Anytime I did meet Latinos in Hollywood, for the most part, usually they were older and usually they were international. They were from another country and not in the sense of like being an undocumented immigrant, in the sense of being like, you came from money that, and then you came over here to do it. And like, you built a career over there where like the government helped you. You know, with grants and shit, and like, no shade, like, you did the thing, but like, also, like, then I'm like, but where are the ones that are from here?
Yeah,
like, where are we at? You know, we're the ones that like are the in between, and so finding, and then as I'm finding more and more, I'm realizing I'm like, everybody the same thing. I'm like, oh yeah, no, like, we never, it's hard to find each other. There's no community. Like, how do we build that? And like, realizing, I'm like, okay, we're all out here, and we all want the same thing. We're all, and like, so like, everybody's just actively doing it, and like, now it's like, for me, it's always, and this is just good networking. I mean, this is even before the, like, even without the Latinidad of it all, I was always of the mind of like, when it comes to networking, my whole fucking MO was always like, never, what can you do for me, but what can I do for you? Mm-hmm. And going into every, constantly hitting up people, can I get coffee with you? Can I get coffee with you? And always trying to figure out, like, listening, like, really listening and hearing what they're working on and being like, oh yeah, we're in the edit. And we're like, you know, we kind of like, this guy's not really working out. I'm like, oh, do you need a sound designer? Like, I got you. And like, literally before I leave the table, I fucking send a quick, oops, sorry. Literally before, just hit the mic. Literally before leaving the table, sending an email real quick. And I'm like, let me connect you with the sound designer. He's great. Like, you should do this. Or like, or somebody's like, yeah, I'm like doing this thing, like looking for a writing partner. And I'm like, oh dude, I know a perfect guy. Like, you know, like, let me put you in touch with them. And like, I know people that have gone and pitched and sold shit. Like, and like, I'm like, hey, how did you guys end up meeting? They're like, you put us in touch. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. And so like, doing that, like, that for me, like, I'm like, that's good networking. It's not about like, oh, everybody that I know and how they're gonna help me out. It's just like, I'm like, nah, I'm out here trying to build community, not just to network. It, but it's all just like, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, how can I help you? Oh fuck, do you need this? And like, okay, cool, like, here's like a few actors, or here's an editor, or here's a fucking writer, like, or even just like, I'm like, oh, I just met another filmmaker that's working on stuff that's kind of like you, like, you know, like, you guys should just get together and talk. Because then it's like, then I know I'm going to see y'all like around, and like, we're like, oh, like, we all know each other. I'm like, oh, so we met through Marvin, but like, now we're working together on something, or no, fuck, like, whatever. Like, that's just,
and the circle grows.
The circle fucking grows. The family grows. Mm-hmm. And like, and it just becomes, And it's just like, but it also grows so that like I don't constantly have to be working on stuff, trying to make my Latino projects and working around a bunch of people that don't fucking get it. Like, I want the community to grow because then I can work on my thing and it's going to be with a bunch of people that get it and that know it and then know the culture and can help elevate it because they're of the culture. And like, that's what I want, because I'm trying to create stuff that's for fucking like Latinos. Like, I'm trying to create stuff that's for us, the first gen kids, like yeah. The kids that grew up in between, because Hollywood likes to make stuff for Latinos and like they're really thinking about Latin America. And I'm like, I didn't leave this fucking country till I was 23. Like, I couldn't. My parents didn't have papers, so we didn't take vacations to Mexico. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't step on a plane to leave this country and cross a border until I was 23. Wow. So, like, I don't know. I didn't know anything outside of fucking California, like, or the West Coast, because I moved a lot. But so I was just like, no, I want to make the thing for us. I want to make the thing that I wish I had seen, the thing that talks about being like from in between, the thing that talks about like, you know, trying to please your parents' culture and be American. Like, I want to fucking talk about that shit. And I don't, and you know, I am held back if I'm constantly having to explain it every step of the way. Yeah.
Do you feel that pressure of being like, I guess, a representative of the Latinx community? Just like, all my work has to be for my culture. Like, does that ever feel pressure?
Do I feel pressure? I don't think so. I like that. I feel like I'm like excited to be able to create, like, cause like that's who I'm making stuff for. Like, and I know that my producers don't want to hear that. Like, they're like, no, it's for everybody. Anybody can enjoy it. I'm like, yeah, but let's be fucking real. Like, I'm making this for Latinos because we haven't fucking had this, because nobody give a shit if the little brown boy in Bakersfield understood what fucking kibitz or fucking kosher meant, you know, right. Like, I mean, like, no shade, you know, I say that specifically because we're asked to like translate our stuff sometimes when we're using Spanglish. And I'm just like, imagine them doing that to like any Hebrew words or like Yiddish words growing up. Like, you know, like, oh, that's not kosher, unholy, you know, like, you know, that's also fucking stupid. You don't do that. Like, let me just use my goddamn languages, my two tongues. And also, like, let's also remember that the second most spoken language in the whole world is Spanish and the third is English. You know what I mean? Like, these motherfuckers will have you thinking English is number one. The first is, it's either Mandarin or Cantonese. One of the Chinese ones.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so it's like, yeah, English, but they'll have you thinking English is number one. Yeah. And that's not the fucking case. So, anyways, I say all that because I'm excited to be able to do that, because nobody's fucking, I want to do it, and I want to, because I also get frustrated because, like, people keep doing it and, like, sometimes they hit it, sometimes they miss the mark. And I'm like, right now there's these great shows out, and I'm like, yeah, like, those are great, but they're not the kinds of shows that I like to watch.
Yeah.
And like, I have a very specific taste, and I'm like, let me make that thing, like, let me fill in that void. And it's unfortunate that I have to, that it hasn't been done yet, you know, but whatever. Like, and so I think that there's, I don't know, there's, I feel like I find empowerment in that. I'm just like, I know who I'm making this for, like, and I'm going to keep it real as much as I can. Like, that's how, I don't know. That's how I'm gonna roll. I don't know. So I don't.
And it's always gonna be innately Latinx, you know, like, because that's who we are. You know, like, that's
I think there's some filmmakers that lose touch with.
But I think for like this, like, well, that's true.
I want to hope. Yeah, there's big people that like get that power of being bigger, and then they're like, you know what? I'm a cast Leonardo DiCaprio on my shit now.
but even then, the filmmaking style, like, it's still the same as they were shooting Mexico back in the day. Like, you know, like, I don't know. I think, you know, it's cool to want to do mainstream things like that. But it's important also to, like, I think, give like those monster opportunities to someone.
Yeah. Brown, if you're brown, we should be using that power to fucking open up the doors. Yeah. And like. We 100%. I think we totally should. Because, I mean, but the thing is, like, because I also, like, that's just, that doesn't mean that I'm not interested in working, like, with, like, some of the dopest, like, white names.
Yeah.
I want to do that. I'm like, I just always go back. I look to Spike. Like, you know, he modeled it. I'm just like, his films are, like, they're black as fuck. If I can say that. I don't know if I can. I feel like that might be problematic. But they are. Like, I mean, he owns it. And, like, but he also makes stuff. And it's like, you know, he's like 25th Hour, where he's got fucking, ¿cómo se llama? Edward Norton, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, like, all his, and this new one, the Black Klansman, which is fucking dope. Yeah, so good. And I'm like, yeah, and I love Adam Driver. He's amazing. I've been keeping an eye on him because I'm like, holy shit, that dude, like, he's like, he's so subtle, he's so strong.
Yeah.
Kylo Ren. Yeah. And so, like, you can still, you can and here's the thing, like, we can do it because we're, what people fucking forget and what Hollywood likes to forget about is that we're American.
Yes.
Like, that we're American. Like, we're not just Latino. Like, we're fucking right. American. Like, that's like we get treated as if, like, we just, like, came here from another country. And it's like, nah, man, I've been born and raised here. And, like, I want to make that thing that feels in between. Like, I'm American and I'm Mexican.
We always joke about how, like, there's, like, they, like, Hollywood still continues to make, like, the Mexican characters talk like this. Yeah. And I'm going to throw shade at this movie because I'm fucking pissed about it. There's a movie out called Peppermint with Jennifer Garner.
Oh, I heard it's trash.
Fuck
heard,
that movie. Fuck that movie. It's, I heard it's literally talking about her killing cholos.
Like, it's,
is
like,
that really what it is?
It's like, oh. She's taking revenge for the death of her daughter by killing all these.
Taken, like, by the hands of cholos. And so the way they word it is the urban gorilla. I'm like, no, just say it. Mexican cholos. It's Jennifer Garner killing cholos.
It's still being made. Like,
it's ridiculous. No, people are stupid. Like, I saw, what was that movie? I saw, it was the one with, what was it called? It was Owen Wilson and Zach Galifianakis and homegirl from, Bridesmaids, I forget it. Kate, no, the
Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig, that one where they like are like robbing. It was based on a true story about robbing
Masterminds,
like a,
or something.
Yeah, one. There's a whole sequence where they go down to Mexico.
Oh boy.
And if you haven't seen it, I was just like, it was on, like, I think my mom or at my mom's house or somebody was. I forget. Somebody was watching it, and I caught this sequence where they're in Mexico, and I was like so fucking offended. Like, it was like the most. They like, there's a car chase and like somebody crashes into a cart, but this cart is literally like a cart selling sombreros, and the guy that's like selling stuff is wearing a poncho, like a really, like a sarape, like really brightly colored one, and a sombrero. And I was just like, this looks like some fuck. I was like, are you for reals? Like, this was made like 2 years ago. Like, this is some, I was like, that's not at all what Mexico looks like, but that's some, the most stereotypical.
And you know, that's the director of Nacho Libre, by the way.
Is that?
That's the director of
that guy. I don't like fucking. I'm not about those movies. I'm not. I know some people fucking like that. Those movies are so divisive, but I just am not about those movies.
I love the movie, but
Napoleon Dynamite. Did you like it?
I will tell you this. You might hate this. I think Napoleon Dynamite is the funniest movie ever.
I'll rewatch it because here's the thing. I just never was into that. I was just like, I was like, what the fuck? I was never into the awkward humor.
Yeah.
You know, the like really.
I like that movie because it can make me laugh by just the characters standing against the lockers. And I'm laughing because that, like, just the shot is so funny. And, like, a guy just comes over and pushes him against the lockers for no reason. That kind of shit is just so funny.
No, there's a lot of fun stuff in there. I will say, there's plenty of fun
Libre,
sequences.
Like, yeah. Jack Black as a fucking...
Oh, we talked about
this.
Yeah,
we talked at length.
You know, there's that wall at... Me too. Where they have, like, Mexican icons and stuff.
And they put Nacho Libre on there?
Nacho
Libre's
on there. Chevy Chase, Steve Martin, and Martin Short are there for Three Amigos.
Speedy
Gonzalez is on there.
Speedy Gonzalez, all the legendary Mexican icons we look up to. You know?
And I don't, Angel knows this. I don't get offended easily, like, when it comes to that. Mostly because I'm like, whatever. Like, we'll fix that. But when I saw this Peppermint thing, I texted you as soon as I saw the trailer. I was like, oh my God, Angel. I said, like, I just saw the worst fucking trailer I've ever seen. Like, you're going to hate it. And then he watched it, like, oh, Jennifer Gardner's out to kill a bunch of children. I don't know. It's like, what gets me excited, though, is that, like, I see that, it gets me mad, but rather than just, like, sit and complain about it, I'm like, all right, I'm going to fix that. Like, I know how I'm going to fix that. Like, I know how I'm going to make sure movies like that, like, when someone gets just the script, they're like, oh, no, we're not making that, you know?
Yeah, and that's why we have to be building up that community, because we need to be in the positions of making those kinds of choices, of developing the thing, of, like, of producing it so that people at all the stages can, like, catch that shit and be like, why are we making this? Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
This is some racist trash. So,
Jennifer Gardner.
Oh my God. Yeah. So that's the whole thing.
Well, I think we're wrapping it up.
Yeah.
I think we have one more question.
Let's do that. Let's do that. The you want to do the typical one that we ask at the end, or just our own?
Just our own.
Okay. Gotcha.
Because I have one.
Go for it.
You go for it. You want your
mine draft? Is like the closer. Yeah.
Oh, his is the closer.
No, mine is the big one. Oh,
okay. I want to know if there was like. Actually, you know what? I'll ask the question that I wanted to ask. For Project Involve, I always hear that you say you applied 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel ready the first time? And what changed from the first to the sixth?
Well, did I feel ready? I was always hopeful. I don't think I ever felt ready. I think so. I'll say this. I tell people this, that the sixth time that I applied, the last time when I got in, it was the first time that I felt like I was like, I have to get in. And if I don't get in, I'm done applying. Because it was the first time that, like, you know, you have to submit a sample. And it was the first year that I knew what I was going to submit. Every other year, I was constantly going to all my friends and, like, I was like, I don't know, like, this or this. Like, what do you think? Is this one stronger or this one? Like, I was constantly, like, asking other people, like, which one should I submit? Which one's the best one? What? I was trying to get everybody's opinion. The sixth year, the year that I got in, was the first time that I was like, I'm submitting this. This is my best work. I haven't done, like, this is, like, me at my best right now. And if I don't get in, it was a sketch that I did. Okay. It was a sketch called, How Guys' Thoughts Ruin Perfect Relationships. And it was like this, like, you know, I was also very proud of it because it was the first, I had been trying to nail that look of like the indie rom-com, like very natural light, very like romantic vibe, like handheld. I had done it a few times and never really quite nailed it. And so that was the first time that I like nailed the look, nailed the tone. It was funny. And so we did it with like no money. And so I submitted that and I knew that was the thing. And I told myself, I was at the point where I was just like, if I don't get in, like if they're not going to like accept me, then I'm over it. Like I've been working on this. Like I've gotten this far. And so I guess the thing that changed the first year I applied, I was like my freshman year, sophomore year. My school didn't do like years like that. It was all year round. But it would be like the equivalent to like my second year of the school there. And I started submitting and like, I was hopeful, but I, you know, I think it was like blissfully ignorant of just like, I'm like, there's no way I was going to get in that year. And just every year I had something new. And so in between each time I applied, I was just constantly shooting. So I never applied with the same thing. Like I constantly had something new and I was pushing myself and I was totally using whether or not I got in or an interview at least, as a benchmark, like I guess you could I don't know what the right term would be, a barometer is better for where I was at in my, like, I was just like, am I good enough yet, am I good enough to get an interview yet, you know, because I knew a ton of people. And but the year, because I was so adamantly like, I was like, this is the last time I'm applying, I went ham. Nice. Like I didn't give a fuck that year. And so I made some bold moves, and the letter, you have to write a letter, like a statement of intent, like why you want to, like why you think you should get in or whatever. So my letter that year, I wrote them a letter of rejection to send to everybody else, saying like, we found the perfect candidate. His name is Marvin. Like, we couldn't let you in. And so I really didn't give a fuck. I was like, this is funny. This is totally my voice. And like, some ballsy shit. Like I was like, I went big. And then I also, because I knew so many Project Involve alums, I knew like 15 different alums from the program from various years, like professors that other students that I was, people that I went to school with, like some of my mentors, like I just knew a lot of people at that point. And so I coordinated it and I asked all of them to, like separately, I asked all of them to send an email to the people that ran the program to, like, you know, just like, can you put in a good word? And so they got bombarded with my name like 15 different times in the same week. And to the point that I remember being at the LA Film Festival that year before they were having interviews and stuff. And one person, one of my friends I was with who had been an alum, ran into one of the people that ran it. She wasn't there anymore when I started, but ran into her and she's like, oh, I want to introduce you to somebody, just applied to Project Involve. She's like, oh, what's his name? And she's like, oh, his name's Marvin Lemus. And she's like, and she rolled her eyes. She's like, he's getting an interview. I got to go. And I was like, God damn. I was like, I annoyed them into fucking giving me an interview. Wow. And so I went hard. I went balls out. I was just like, I'm going to stand out. I'm submitting what I believe is my best work so far. And I'm like, I'm over it. Like, if you guys don't think I can get an interview with all of this, like, fuck it. Like, you know? I don't need this shit. Yeah, then I don't need this. Like, I was so upset. I was kind of like, I was getting to that point where I was just like, I was tired of being the rejected stepchild, you know? Yeah. And
you were acting out.
Yeah, I was acting out that year. But no, luckily, no, but, and they say, like, they told me, like, you know, it's like, you know, it was your work. It's not just because of the letter, the other stuff, but, like, you know, I know that shit, like, makes it, like, helps you stand out, you know? Like, it just, like, makes you pop up a little bit more. So, like, they're going to remember, like, oh, Marvin Lemus, like, yeah, I remember seeing his stuff.
Yeah, and you went into it just like, you know what? Like, and that's what we talked about, this, how, like, when I was making Instant Crush, like, I was just like, you know what? Like, I'm not gonna panic too much about this opportunity. Like, if it fucking works, it works. If it doesn't, I don't care. Like, I'm just gonna make it as best I can be. And because you went in with that, like, I don't give a fuck attitude, I really feel like that's why it happened. Aside from your work, like, you didn't have that resistance of like, oh, it's gonna happen, like probably the years before. And like, when most of us apply to things, like, we feel like, fuck, like, this has gotta be it. But I think now, just cause you're like, like, it's like, oh yeah, you got it. Like, oh,
I dare you to reject.
Yeah. There was a little bit of that. And I mean, I also was just like, you know, having done all the work that I was doing, like shooting constantly, directing, like, I just, at that time, I had just done the Dear White People campaign. I had done all of this stuff for All Deaf Digital. I launched that whole channel. I had this sketch group that was like, you know, I was just like, I just felt like, I was just like, I know what I'm doing, guys. Like, I know what I'm doing. Like, let's not play these games. Like, let me in. Like, just, you know, just let me, let me the fuck in. Like, and so if they ever hear this, sorry, Francisco, just like, you know, I was a little, you know, I was in my feelings at that time, guys. I was just in my feelings, but no, but like, but there's that feeling of like, you know, like, exactly. It's not necessarily like, fuck it, I don't need you. Like, not like bitter that way, but more like, I was like, I'm doing the work and I know that my career is going where I need it to go right now. And I was like, I would love to be a part of this. And I'm so glad. And I tell people all the time, and I fucking rep Project Evolve and Film Independent like hard, because that program, I 100% think of my career as before Project Evolve and after Project Evolve. Mm-hmm. And I love them to death. And they have set the standard for all these, you know, I've been doing some of these other, like, you know, diversity fellowships and like, but Project Evolve set the fucking bar high of just like what I should be expecting of what, when people give a shit, when they care, when they're there, like when they're invested in you and in your success, and in building that community for you, like that. So like, I fucking love Project Evolve, and I love that program, and I love that, like, that organization, like, because Film Independent, even before that, when I was in film school, I went to a film school that was, like, very technical. It was much more hands-on about just trying to get you a job versus being about the art and about being, you know, trying to make you a good director. They're more just like, you know, as long as we can get you a job editing or on set or whatever, like, where we consider it a success, you know?
Yeah.
It was a for-profit, and so I didn't get any theory while I was there, not a lot. And so I supplemented all of that by going to like every screening. I became a Film Independent member, and I was going to every screening because they had Q&As. And I didn't realize this. I was just going to the screening. So I was like, oh, it's a free screening, part of my membership. And I would go. And then like all of a sudden the filmmaker comes out with one of those stars, and I'm just like, oh, shit. And like, I'm like about to leave, and I'm like, oh, there's a, oh, cool. Oh, shit, they're here. Like, and I'm like, you know, I just moved here from Bakersfield. I'm like, whoa, what? Like, the guy that just made that? Like, that shit was dope. Like, you know? Yeah, like, I saw, like, Cary Fukunaga, like, when I saw a screening of Sin Nombre, and he comes out and he's talking. And I remember asking, he talked about how he shot the whole thing without a shot list. And I stood up and asked him, like, what? How did you, what? Like, with attitude, my friend was like, dude, what the fuck? You sound like such an asshole. Cause then he, like, commented.
Can y'all believe
me? I was like, how did you do it without a shot list? And he's like, damn, you sound like everybody on my crew. But he explained it. And then the thing is, like, I went to so many screenings with so many panels, to all the fucking forums. Like, I just learned so much because they had all the filmmakers come, and they talk about their process, and they talk about their career, they talk about how they do it, how they're on set, how they like network, all those things. I learned that shit from all the screenings and all the fucking resources that they made available. Like, that was just like, I needed that to supplement all the technical shit that I was learning and not getting at my film school. And so, yeah, so that's why, like, you know, and Film Independent is like, they're, that's what I think it looks like to be about, like, the development and the community of, like, you know, filmmakers, and like building you up and like making sure that, like, yo, like, we're all coming up together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shout out Film Independent.
Shout out Project to Film Independent, Product Involved. You applied. Can we say that?
I did apply. I applied for the third time, I think.
No way. Oh, shit. Keep doing it, man. So, it took me 3 years to get into the Sony program.
I feel like the way you're talking about, like, you feel that this project is the one to get you in. You're like, this is the best I've been. And if this doesn't get me in, then I don't know if I want to be a part of a program that doesn't recognize me or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt when I was writing it. And I felt something like, I've never felt more sure than me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't write, that's like, great. Yeah. Fuck everybody.
I didn't say, I made it very formal.
Like, hang on a second.
Listen, here's the thing. I had been doing sketch for a long time, so I made it very formal. I, like, really structured it. I made it look like a very formal letter of rejection. And I was just like, you know, dear, you know, fill in the blank. Like, you know, like, thank you for applying to Project Involve. Yeah. But, like, you know, I made it, like, legit.
The one. Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, I did. So we'll see. Maybe we'll look back and be like, hey, his advice, it's true.
It is. Even to this day, and I'm really glad you said all that, because, you know, you're obviously already prominent and so young, and like you're just getting bigger, and so like it's nice to hear. I'm sure Angel really appreciated it too, like, and I did for sure, like hearing that, like, it's okay, like even the best people have to go through some, like, no,
through five rejections.
Well, like, I mean, like, have you guys ever heard, like, Ava DuVernay talks about, like, she applied to all the different fellowships, all that, she didn't get to any of them. Wow. And now she's like on the board of directors of most of them. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, she applied and never got into any of them. And like, she's like, you don't need them. You don't need them. You just keep doing the fucking work. Like, if you get in, great. Because here's the thing, I know people like that have gotten in, and it's like, you know, they're still grinding, and no shade, but I definitely think it's like, it's always, no matter what kind of program, it's always going to be about what you put into it, you know, like if you're going to make the most of it. Like, so you can get into the program and it's not going to, and it could lead nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and you're just in the same boat that you were before you applied, you know,
it's all about, I think you learn more from the rejections, and you think like, okay, like I didn't get into this thing. Cause I got rejected from like the Sundance Ignite and from Sundance in general with our movie. And so I'm like, all right, if not these places, like if not this, something better. Like, you know, like where else do I go from here? You like the path just becomes clearer. And rather than take that a rejection from anywhere as like a loss, like fuck, like this was the one that it's like it wasn't. If it was, you would have gotten in. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you look at it as like, okay, all right, so this happened. Like why I ended up making the movies because I got scammed out of $3,000 for a fake PA job. And so I thought like, all right, you know, like I'm so fucking sick of this.
What?
I'm like, I'm so sick of getting.
Hold on, I need more details. You can't just skip over that.
I didn't tell you this. Well, it prompted me to write my first feature script. This whole scam. So, long story short, I was like at a really low point in my life where like I was just like looking for jobs on Craigslist, and they said there's this great job in Sacramento for this car commercial. We're gonna forward you. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it sounded legit because I had worked in a job recently working under a director, John Turtletop, where they would give me like checks and stuff to go cash or like, you know, to, and so they would give me like big money. And so we're gonna, so we'll, when I applied, they said, oh, we loved your resume, and they like cited specific things, and it was, they were pretending to be like this smaller, like it wasn't like we are Universal, come work for us. It was like we are Sundial Pictures, and they had the guy's name Joy Carey. Like it was a very specific that like you just couldn't think like there's no way this is fake. Like it's too specific. Like, you have to be real to know this. And so, like, I was talking to supposedly Joey Carey. Shout out, I guess. it's what he found out. Anyway, so we're going back and forth. They're like, we're going to send you a cashier's check for your travel info so you can come out here to Sacramento. I'm like, I can't honestly drive. They're like, no, we're going to put you up in a hotel. Like, we have all the PAs in this hotel. And so I'm like, okay, great. And, like, me and my dad, like, we went to go, like, cash this cashier's check at a Wells Fargo, take it out, submit it, like, send it through whatever, put it in my bank and do all this shit. And, like, it didn't feel weird to me because I had kind of done a form of that. And I thought, this is just how it works. And then one of the scariest moments of my life, I'm at a restaurant with my ex-girlfriend and we're eating and I have to pay for the bill. And I think, at the time I had the $3,000 they forwarded me in my bank aside from like my own money. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to cash that out later. And they bring back the card. They're like, oh, like your card didn't go through. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like I have like $3,000 in my bank account. I look at my phone, it said negative $3,000 and something and change. And that like sent like a shiver down my spine. Yeah. I was like, ooh. I was like, that's not good.
That's not good.
I was like, that's not good. And so I emailed the bank. I'm like, hey, I cashed this check. I'm like, and it went, I had the money showed in my bank account. And like, oh, it bounced. I'm like, then why the fuck did you put it on my bank account? They're like, oh, well, we thought it was real, but it's not. So like, talk to the person that sent it to you. And so I was like, all right. And so I said, hey, Joey. So like something weird happened. Like the check bounced. No reply. And I felt really weird that day. And I was just like, I remember I went, I'm like, let me check their Facebook. So I went to Sundance Pictures Facebook, like the worst thing you could imagine, a post that says, hey guys, be aware. Somebody is posing as us, scamming people out of like boatloads of money and whatever. And I ever got so mad. I got my like desk chair and like I fucking threw it against the wall and I punched my blinds. I started crying because like, for one, I felt stupid that to me, it felt like the universe saying like, you're not gonna get fuck any fucking jobs. Like, yeah, fuck your dream. Like, you were gonna scam me out of $3,000, and you know, and then I tried reaching out to Joe, like the real people. Finally, like, I found their Facebook and everything, and like, they were just like, oh well, that's not us, dude. Like, we're sorry. Like, there's nothing we can do for you. And it felt so embarrassing having to like tell my mom and dad, like, hey, I got scammed. And my dad's like, I knew there was something fishy, and like, we called the police and everything. And like, luckily, I'm grateful that my parents are fine enough to where they both like chipped in and like. covered it so that I didn't fucking get like a big expense out of it. But I was so fucking
defeated. That they took advantage. Yeah, I'm sure. I can't even imagine.
I really thought it was the universe's way of saying like,
this isn't gonna happen for you.
And I remember I had like a day or a week to just kind of sulk. And I was in the middle of writing one of my first feature scripts. I said, you know what? I said, like, I'm so fucking pissed. Let me finish this fucking piece. Like, I don't care. I don't care if the universe doesn't want me to do it. Like, I want to write this movie and I'm going to fucking finish it. So I wrote the movie. I felt fucking great. And I was like, you know what? I never thought I'd ever complete a feature, let alone like a feature script, let alone at 19 years old. I'm like, I feel proud of myself. This is great. And that after that, on my way to print that script out, that's where I got the idea for Bad Labor, my movie. And I saw the day laborers. I thought, like, oh, you know, like, this is interesting. Like, you never know what car you're getting into, yada, yada, yada. Fast forward, I'm going on a trip to Hawaii. I'm like, this is great. Like, I can take a break from this feature that I just wrote. And then I got the book, Rebel Without a Crew, read it all cover to cover in Hawaii. And then that prompted me to make the movie. So it was because of that, that like, instead of letting it defeat me, I just said, no. Like, I was so stubborn. I'm like, no, I've been doing this for too goddamn long. I didn't go to college for this shit. I don't care if God himself is saying you can't do it. I'm going to say, fuck that. I'm doing it. And I really think that was what that needed to happen for me to push me out of like my weird funk that I was in for a little while, like of like trying to get PA jobs. Like, no, like, you want to be a filmmaker, go back, go fucking make a movie, stop complaining about it.
Yeah.
And so that's
beautiful.
I'm glad you told that so succinctly, Chris.
I was just reliving it.
It was a great story. That's so fucking amazing. Yeah, I love that. And Rebel Without a Crew was a huge book for me in high school. Yeah. That shit, like, yeah, that set me up.
And now look at us. We're all three of us are sitting down,
chilling, like, yeah. Like, no, like not stressing, you know, not like, you know, like it's.
But we all had to go through these big, terrifying, horrible moments to get to where we are today.
Yeah,
and I think that's as good a place as ever to end it.
Is, but I also
I was just like, I think he had a question.
Damn, you really tried. You really went for it.
Yeah.
He's trying.
I was like, oh, that's so sentimental. That's a really beautiful way to end, except.
Except I have one more question. Angel's looking out for the people that are complaining about the length. Angel's really looking out for
it's
you guys.
It's not me that's doing it.
he's really looking out. So really quick, I want to ask, because I consider myself an auteur. You know, I look up to people like Scorsese, like Tarantino. He's always on me about this shit.
You own it. Fuck him.
Yeah, fuck you, Angel. You heard it first from Marvin Levis.
Own your title.
I want to ask, do you consider yourself an auteur? And like, what kind of legacy do you hope to leave behind? Do you even think about that?
I don't think so. I guess I don't think about my legacy. I think about, I guess legacy feels so like, thinking too far ahead or in the past. I don't know. I just think about like, I just want to make dope shit. Cool. You know, I just want to make the best shit. What I truly obsess about is just like, I want to master my craft. Like, that's all I think about. It's like, I just want to be that competitiveness of just like, not that I want to be better than everybody, but I just want to be really fucking good at what I do. Like, I just want to be great at it. And I recognize, and I've had to be, you know, I've had to check myself and like recognize it. I'm like, you know, cause I beat myself up. There's a million mistakes that I made on Hentified, on Vominos. Like, but I'm like, no, dude, like remember where you were like just a few years ago and to just look at it. And then sometimes I look back at some of the first sketches that I did and I'm just like, oh, these aren't that bad. Like I fucking was really hard on myself and I just want to master my craft. I just want to be at, and I know that that's, I just got to focus on me and my, like, cause that just goes back to, and I get it. Cause like, you know, the thing is like in the beginning, especially I'm just comparing, or even now I'm just comparing myself to fucking Scorsese and to fucking Tarantino or to, you know, fucking Fellini and them. And like, I'm just like, that's the bar that I've set for myself. Mm-hmm. And when I'm making my $100 sketch and it doesn't turn out the fucking same way, and I'm just like, God damn it, what the fuck did I do wrong? How do I do this? And it took a while to realize, I'm like, oh, well, they have millions of dollars. Right. You can't, there's a fucking ceiling here, bro. Like, relax.
Video look like fucking Goodfellas.
I'm like, yeah, exactly. I'm like, why the what the fuck? What is it that they have that I don't have? Well, a huge crew, a lot of equipment, lots of money, plenty of time, way more time than you have than your fucking half hour, your half afternoon. But there's also, I mean, anyways, so I that's what I think about. I just am obsessed with like working on my craft and just getting better at it. And but there was another part you said, legacy. And
do you consider yourself an auteur?
Oh, I can consider myself. No, I don't. That title, I mean, I never really understood what that was until more recently. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, That doesn't make sense. I'm a filmmaker. I'm a writer, director. But I am, and I think that the reason that I've been able to like have people, I've been able to call in favors for so long and have people work with me for like, you know, on the cheap and do what I do is mm-hmm. because I fucking love and appreciate what my crew and like every, like I am so on set. Like I'm like, I'm going to get what I need to get and I'm going to fucking make this shit happen. I'm going to get the shots that I need to get, but I am so fucking grateful for everybody that's there. Like, cause I can't do it alone. Like of that's course, not, yeah. I'm not fucking sitting here with my camera and the fucking boom up in one hand. And then, the, you know, the camera in the other and then acting in it. Like I have right. a fucking bunch of people that are like giving me their time, giving me their energy. And like, I love them for it. And I appreciate yeah. them for it. And like, I'm not, and I want that. I don't want to work by myself. Like right. I fucking, for me being on set is like the reason I love this is because like, I just want to play make believe with my friends for the rest of my life. Like I'm not trying to work alone and just take all the credit. So, so I guess I don't really love that idea of the auteur. I guess I like writing and directing and I do like fulfilling a full vision of mine, mm-hmm. but I'm not doing it alone. I have a whole bunch of people helping yeah. me like every step of the way. And I don't know, I guess I come from sketch and improv and like, I like being a team player. I like the fucking, the collaboration. Cause I know that I want, what I ultimately want is the best possible fucking film, the best possible story, the best possible shot. And that doesn't mean that the ideas are all going to come from me. Like, I love being able to be like, this is what I'm thinking. And then somebody be like, well, what? Oh, like, dude, that's great. What if this? And I'm like, oh, fuck, that's dope. Yeah, yeah. Oh, but and if we add this, oh, even better. Like, fuck. Like, it's just so fucking exciting to be able to, like, push it and elevate yeah. together and collaborate that way, like, bounce it back and forth. Mm. Which is what I, you know, all of what improv is like we're building the scene together. And so, and yeah, it, so that's it.
It isn't until all of us get together that we make shit happen.
Oh, Angel's Hide in the title.
Boom.
Boom. There you go.
And that's how you fucking, and that's how you close off an episode.
But I have one more now.
Actually, I have a couple questions for you guys.
There's actually two more follow-ups. So there's an A and B.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see you in part three of this. Part three. of this trilogy of episodes. But Marvin, thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
For inviting us to your home and letting us set up all these goddamn mics in your kitchen.
Of course. We're not in the kitchen. We're in the, this is the dining room.
This is the dining room. The kitchen is 2 feet away from you.
We're in the foyer.
Yeah, the foyer. But yeah, thank you. And just shooting the shit with us, having a good time and talking about some real shit. And all of us, I think, getting inspired by all our separate stuff.
Hell yeah. Is there anything you want to plug? Anything that you got coming up that you'd like people to
yeah,
know?
Yeah, okay. Definitely follow me on Instagram at El Marvin Lemus. So E-L Marvin Lemus. Yeah.
Get ready for some dog pics.
Yeah, come for the dog pics. There's a lot of that. My brand is a little bit questionable right now. It's a lot of dog pics as I just got a dog. Her name is Coco. She's my everything. Mm-hmm. You know, ride or die, like Coco over life, like Coco over everything. Anyways. So follow me on Instagram at El Marvin Lemus. Actually, El Marvin Lemus everywhere. Twitter.
Cool.
Instagram. What else? I guess that's it. I don't have a Facebook anymore. And then I need a plug. Of course, we have a pod. Me and Linda started a podcast. It hasn't dropped quite yet, but I'm sure by the time that this drops, hopefully it'll be out. Look it up. It's going to be called The Diversity Hires. And we interview... The first batch of episodes, we have interviews with like Justin Simien, Lena Waithe, Gloria Calderon-Quellet, Edward James Olmos, Jenny Lorenzo. So check that shit out because as soon as we drop it, it's going to be all of them. You'll be able to check them all out.
Damn.
And yeah, that's what I have to plug for now.
Okay.
For now. And then, you know, circle back when there's the next thing. Yeah. The next thing will be coming out soon.
Real quick before we sign off, does this feature that is outlined behind you have a name?
It does. Well, I have a, I guess it's a working title, but I think I'm gonna keep it as the actual title because I think it's funny. It's called Angry Fat Kid Kills a Witch.
What?
Yeah, so I think I'm gonna keep it. Yeah, we'll see.
That is,
but that's what I'm working with right now.
Bold title.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
And as always,
see ya.
I am Angel Salinas.
I'm Chris Carmona.
And this was the Us Podcast. Bye, everybody.
And he's Marvin.
I'm Marvin.
I mean, I guess.
Bye. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for checking out the Us Podcast.
You can follow us on our Instagram at Us Podcast.
You can also follow us on our personal Instagrams. I am at Angel I Salinas _.
And you can follow me at The Chris Carmona.
Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcast from. Write us
us a review.
Please, that helps us out so much.
Say some nice things. Say some maybe not so nice things. Go ahead and tell us. Please. Please. All right. Bye.
That sounded pretty good.